I release a breakthrough anointing on you tonight. You can break through the norm. Break through the status quo. Break through wherever you go. I declare a breakthrough tonight to take you higher, to take you to places where you've never been. I will show you the way. Follow me to your breakthrough. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You believe that tonight? That's for you. That's for whoever wants to take possession of that. Amen. Father, thank you for a breakthrough night. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You may have your seats. You know, I was just thinking, I tell you what, you know, it wasn't too long ago that, I mean, we were singing the CDs. And, you know, I remember we were praying, believing God, standing in faith. And look at what God has done. Amen. Amen? He's brought us all these, I mean, they're not just skilled, but they're anointed. Thank you, musicians and singers. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here tonight. God had a scheduled pouring out tonight for you. Just want to make you aware of a few things. We're still doing the nursing home on Sundays at 2 p.m. And we're at the Palmyra Nursing Home. And if you'd like to join us this Sunday, we're going to be ministering there. Also, coming up on July 19th, make special note, Todd Levin will be with us on that Sunday. And he's a great teacher, anointed teacher, and he'll be a blessing to you. And so make mention of that. And then we're going to be hosting a breakfast for the Citizens Fire Company of Palmyra here on September 19th. And all the proceeds from that breakfast are going to go to the fire company. And we just want to bless them and get involved in our community. So let people aware we're going to have a breakfast for the fire company on September 19th. And also, I just found out today, I don't know if any of you would be interested in hosting some Chinese students. The lady just came here today and dropped off this flyer. American Home Life International, they bring students from China to the United States to experience American culture, and they get presented the gospel. And it's a great opportunity, and they need 9 families. They're hosting 13 and 14-year-olds from China, I think, for 10 days. And they're coming in July 24th, so time is short. The lady was a little frantic. So if you're interested, I'm going to put this on the back at the end, and we're going to make more copies of this. But if you want to host some Chinese students in your home, it'd be a great opportunity to experience culture and to just show them the love of God. All right? And you can get more information about that. Praise the Lord. How many love harvests? Well, to have a continual harvest, you need to be a continual planter. Amen? So I encourage you, you know, we're to give of the Lord both tithes and offerings. And increase really comes from offerings. I mean, tithe, we're giving a tenth back to the Lord, and that's what he said. But so I'd encourage you, just continue to be faithful in your giving, and we just appreciate you so much. This is a giving group of people, amen? And we're just so grateful. So, Father, I thank you for blessing every gift and every giver. And may they be multiplied, and may you be glorified, and may your kingdom be edified. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, you better put your seatbelts on tonight, because prayer this past week, there was just a strong passion that came within me. So I don't know how that'll translate in this, but We're continuing with our class on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's important to know about the Holy Spirit because when Jesus left this earth, he gave us his Holy Spirit. So he is the one who we are to work with now to build God's kingdom. All right? So tonight, I want to go over some examples of people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then I want to talk about the benefit of tongues, and then we'll see how far we get. All right? So you ready? All right, let's go to Acts chapter 2. We'll begin there, and then we'll just continue on. And I will give you an opportunity to ask questions at the end. So, you know, because I want you to learn and get a hold of this. And even if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, maybe this will help you help someone else, right? You know, because how many know Christianity is not just about us? You know, you come here to church, but it's not to stay here. What you get here, what gets put in you here, is supposed to be taken out there. All right? All right, Acts chapter 2. And I want you to notice there was 120 people that were in this room. And verse 4, Acts 2, 4. And they were all filled. Everybody say, all filled. How many were there? 120 were there. How many were filled? You know, I thought about that. Did you know that the Holy Spirit was a promise from God? He said, I want you to wait for the promise. We talked a little bit about the promise last week. And God wants us filled, all right? And they were all filled with what? With the Holy Ghost. He's not an it, he's a person. He's God. And what happened when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost? They began to speak with other tongues. Who did the speaking? They did. Who gave them the words to say? He did. They did the speaking, but he gave them the words. All right? The Holy Spirit didn't speak, the people spoke. Okay? And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance or gave them the ability or enabled them. Okay? So they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues. And when someone gets filled, the same thing should happen today. Amen? So let's go down to verse 33. Well, let me read that to you in a couple other different translations. In the Living Bible, it says, everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in languages that they didn't know, for the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. The Amplified says, they were all filled or diffused throughout their souls. I like that. I want to be diffused throughout my soul. With the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other different foreign languages or tongues as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words. And then, of course, the Young's literal translation says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues according as the Spirit was giving them to declare. All right, go down to verse 33. So these were filled and... You know, speaking is always related to being filled, okay? When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, shyness disappears and boldness takes over, okay? Verse 33, Peter is preaching here, and he says, verse 32, this Jesus that has God raised up, whereof we were all witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now hear. Okay? So the main evidence that the people were hearing was they were hearing this group of Galileans speaking in all these other languages, and the Bible lists all the other languages of the people that were there. and they were declaring the works of God. So when the Holy Spirit moves, there's going to be something to see and something to hear. Amen? And people saw these people. There were, you have to understand, there was a lot of people in Jerusalem at this time because they were celebrating the one-day festival of Pentecost. And they heard this noise. You know, God has a way of gathering people to hear the word, right? And he got their attention, and these people were seeing these people. They were seeing this 120 speaking and carrying on and doing these different things. And, you know, they thought that they were drunk. How many's ever seen a drunk person, right? A drunk person walks funny and talks funny, right? So I want you to notice, too, that Jesus, Peter declared by the Holy Spirit that Jesus had received the promise of the Holy Ghost as well. Now go down to verse 38. The message that Peter gave was so powerful that he didn't even have to have an altar call. The people were touched in their heart, pricked in their heart. And verse 38, they came to Peter and said, "What must we do?" How many know the gospel demands action? That's why we have an altar call. We give people an opportunity to act upon the gospel. Okay? Then Peter said unto them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you." Did you ever think about that? They baptized 3,000 people. All right? In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remittance of sins. When you get baptized in Jesus' name, you're born again, aren't you? Right? And notice what it said. Be baptized in the name of Jesus and, everybody say and. He is connecting a thought, and you shall receive the what of the Holy Spirit. He's a gift. Say, the Holy Spirit's a gift. You know, when Jesus left this earth, he gave us the second greatest gift of all. First greatest gift is salvation. Second greatest gift is his Holy Spirit and his power. Okay? So they were all baptized. See, the baptism of the Spirit, it's in addition to. It's an added bonus. It comes along with salvation. If you don't speak in tongues, but Jesus Christ is in your heart, you're still going to heaven. Not speaking in tongues won't keep you out of heaven. Isn't that good? But we're going to talk about the benefits of tongues. And when I go over the benefits of tongues, everybody's going to want to speak in tongues. Okay? And you'll hear phrases throughout the word like baptized with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit fell on them, the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out, received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came on them, the promise of the Father, endued with power from on high. They're all talking about the same thing. Okay? And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it converts cowards into heroes. Think about it. They were in that room. A lot of them were hiding. But when the Holy Spirit came, they didn't hide anymore, did they? They were very bold and open in a public setting. Okay? And regeneration or being born again imparts life, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit imparts power. Okay? When you get born again, you get eternal life. You get the Holy Spirit, but then you get power to be a witness, power to live, power to execute God's principles. So regeneration imparts life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit imparts power. It's all about power. Okay? And he'll help you. He'll empower you for service. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Let's see another example. Verse Verse 14. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. Okay? Let me just give you a quick quiz. Who went to Samaria? Philip, right? And he preached Christ, and there was great, he cast out devils, he healed people, and there was great joy in the city. So now Jerusalem gets the word that Samaria received the word of God. But now, because Samaria had received the word, they wanted to get them filled with the Holy Spirit and the power as well. Okay? So they sent Peter and John. Verse 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these people were baptized in Jesus Christ. They were born again. They were saved. Okay? And when you're saved, you do have God's Spirit living on the inside of you. But when you're baptized, he gives you an added bonus. He gives you power, okay? Notice, so for he was fallen upon none of them, for they were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So apparently, the Holy Ghost, people can receive the Holy Ghost from having hands laid on them. That's one of the methods that God uses to make this transference, to make this deposit. Just a touch, a point of contact. Okay? And notice verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. What do you suppose Simon saw when hands were laid on them? Maybe he saw them speaking in tongues. Maybe he saw them prophesying. Maybe he saw them change from before hands were laid on them to when hands were laid on them, he saw something. There was something there that showed him that through the laying on of hands, people received the Holy Spirit. Now he offered money. Verse 19 saying, give me this power that on whomsoever I lay hands may receive the Holy Ghost. Can you buy God's power? No. It's not for sale. It's a gift to his body, okay? And Peter said, now Simon was a person who believed Philip. He heard Philip preach and he believed in Christ. Simon was a sorcerer, okay? He was just coming out of darkness and coming into the light, and he didn't have a whole lot of knowledge. But Peter said unto him, verse 20, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness and pray God if perhaps through your heart, the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now, isn't it interesting how Philip went to Samaria? He was like the Billy Graham. He went and preached the gospel. He got people saved. But then Peter and John came after him. And they got him filled with the Holy Spirit. And you see the beautiful picture how God works. Aren't you glad that one person doesn't have to do it all? God designed us to be part of a body. Everybody has their function. Billy Graham doesn't have healing meetings. He has crusades. And he is stuck with that message for his entire ministry. And look at the success that he has had. But see, here's the beauty of the body of Christ. Philip got him saved. Peter and John got him filled with the Holy Spirit. And God was glorified. Everybody did their function. Everybody performed their task. Everybody did their assignment. And God's kingdom grew. And that's how it's designed to work. Okay? But I want you to see that a group of people who were born again, the only qualification to be filled with the Holy Ghost is to be born again. Okay? All you have to do is have Jesus as your Savior, and the gift, you are qualified to receive this gift. Like I said, it's in addition to. All right? Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. This was an incredible story because Cornelius was a righteous man, a just man. He gave alms and he prayed, and God heard his prayers and God saw his giving. Alms is giving to poor. Cornelius was a giver and God took notice of his giving. And actually, Cornelius' giving got God's attention, if you read it. We just don't have time to go into the story in depth, okay? And Cornelius was missing something. He loved God, but there was something that he needed that he didn't have yet. So God says, you know what, Cornelius? I know what you need, and I'm going to hook you up. And God showed a vision to Cornelius, and at the same time, God was showing Peter, he was giving him the message that what God calls clean is not unclean. Okay? And God supernaturally connected Cornelius with Peter, and Cornelius sent men from his house to go get Peter, and the Holy Ghost spoke to Peter and said, there's men that are coming for you, go with them, asking no questions. So Peter didn't know what he was going to do or who was going to be there, but he just knew he was supposed to go. How many know God may give you a step, but he may not give you the whole journey, right? And he expects us to take that step of faith, and then he'll show us more as we go. So Peter got to Cornelius' house, and he was surprised. Cornelius had invited all of his family, all of his friends. Maybe the 100 soldiers that Cornelius was over were there. I don't know, but Cornelius had his house packed, ready to hear the word of God. And right in the middle, Peter started preaching. He didn't know what he was going to say. He didn't even have notes, but the Holy Ghost ordained it all. And right in the middle of his sermon, the Holy Ghost decides to fall. Can you imagine him interrupting the sermon? Amen. I say yes and amen. Listen, anytime that God wants to move, he can move. You know, if you want to follow man's agenda, you can. But you will not get the success. You got to follow God's agenda. And you got to be ready to move when God moves. You got to be ready to turn right when God turns right. You got to be ready to make a sharp left when God makes a sharp left. Okay? Believe me, now I spend a lot of time preparing notes and getting my heart ready, but I do not limit the Holy Spirit. If he wants to do something different, he is more than welcome to. So, let's go down to verse 44. Acts 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on how many? All them which heard the word. How many know the Holy Spirit moves where the word goes forth? He works in conjunction with the word. Why? He's actually the author of the word. Holy men of God wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit the words of God. So while Peter's preaching, the Holy Ghost falls on everyone in attendance in Cornelius' house. And verse 45, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. That phrase is talking about a group of Jews. Now, these group of Jews, they were astonished. What made them to be astonished? Continue on. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. These Jews were like, I can't believe my eyes and my ears. They get the same gift as us. How many know that God's no respecter of persons? Now, hands were not laid on these people. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit can't move in different ways. He just fell. All of a sudden, you know, it's like, you know what? If you go to take a shower, when you turn the shower on, you can hit the shower, hitting the thing. You know, the Holy Ghost just fell on this group of people. And the Jews were astonished. And then verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. They wanted him to stay some more so that they could be taught. You know, if you want to be a partner of the Holy Spirit, you got to be taught on how he works and how he moves and how he does things. I remember my brother-in-law, Ron. He was working for a particular company, and he got to shadow the president of the company for a week. He got to see what that president did. He got to be with that president when he made decisions. He got to shadow that president because he was learning how to be a leader. And those at Cornelius' house, they just wanted Peter to stay a couple more days so that he could continue teaching. Now, they had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues, just like they did in the beginning. All right, go to Acts 11. Next chapter. And go down to verse 15. Now, Peter is telling his testimony of what just happened at Cornelius' house. And he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Okay? But I want you to notice the same result occurred. They spoke with tongues, just like they did in Acts 2. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So Peter is now remembering the words that Jesus spoke to them about the baptism that was to come. This is it. He's just experiencing this. Okay? For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he gave unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Who initiated this transaction? God initiated this transaction. Do you realize God moved heaven and earth so the group of believers at Cornelius' house could get filled with the Holy Ghost? Think, if you read that story, look at what God had to do. He had to tell Peter a dream three times before Peter understood what he was talking about. Because at that time, Jews had a very negative outlook about Gentiles. A lot of the Jews thought they were better than the Gentiles. And when God gave them the same gift of the Holy Ghost, that's why the Jews were astonished. They're like, I could see, did you see that? They're speaking in tongues just like we did. I can't believe it. So Peter's telling this. He said, who am I to withstand God? Listen, no one should get in the way of anyone receiving the Holy Ghost. Peter said, who am I to withstand this? Verse 18, when they heard these things, now he's telling the church, They held their peace and glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. See, they were going to say something negative about it, but they held their peace because they realized, hey, I'm not going to argue against God. Those are smart people. You know, it's a smart person to realize that arguing with God is of no value. All right? Let's go down to Acts 19 now. Acts 19. Verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Did Paul think that they were born again? Yeah, I mean, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Okay? He wasn't trying to get them born again, because they were born again. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. If you want to receive the Holy Ghost, you've got to hear what God says about him. Because God operates by faith. The more you hear about the Holy Spirit and what he does, the greater faith you can have to work with him. They were willing to receive, but they hadn't even heard about it. And if they hadn't heard about it, they couldn't have faith to receive. Faith comes by what? Hearing what? Okay? In order to receive what God said, you got to hear what God said about whatever it is you need. So, and he said to them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. What did John's baptism do? What did it help people do? Repent. Turn. Turn from wickedness and evil, right? And John was a forerunner of Christ. John's mission was to prepare people to receive Christ. He was the forerunner. He went before Jesus in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and his assignment was to baptize people with water, and he prophesied, he said, there's going to come one after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. Maybe these disciples heard John speaking that. Okay? I don't know. Then, verse 4, then said Paul, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Paul just gave them a quick sermon about Jesus Christ and believing on Jesus Christ. Do you realize that was enough for them to receive? Notice. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. All it took was those key words that Paul gave them so that they could believe, because the Bible says when they heard this, then they were able to receive what Paul was talking about. And they got baptized in Jesus' name, and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with tongues. Paul did, they did, and God did. Amen? Go with me to Acts 18. I want to show you one more, and then I'm going to get to the tongues here. Then we'll take some questions. Acts 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord. What did he know? The last part of verse 25. What did he know? He was speaking such powerfully and eloquently, and he was a great communicator and a great orator, only knowing the baptism of John. Now notice this. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue when Aquila and Priscilla had heard. They heard him speaking. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. What do you suppose, now the Bible doesn't say it, but what do you suppose Priscilla and Aquila told him about? They told him about the Holy Spirit. Priscilla and Aquila were associates of Paul. Paul stayed at their house for a year and a half because them and Paul were tent makers. And they were believers who were filled with the Holy Spirit. So they told him the way of God more perfectly. And, you know, even though the Bible doesn't say it, I know that it's just my belief that they talked to him about the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, how will tongues benefit you as a believer? You know, I really love the word benefit. When you want to help people find their inheritance, you're all about the benefits, right? And that, I want to help people find their inheritance and treasure in God's word. That's what we're all about. So no matter what I preach on, I will talk something about the benefits, right? Benefit number one of speaking in tongues, it is a sign of being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. And I'm just going to give you the references because of time's sake. Acts 2:4, Mark 16:17, it says, one of the signs shall follow believers, it says, you shall speak with new tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:22. All right? Ready for number two? If I go too fast, get the CD. No, I'm just kidding. But it wouldn't hurt you to get the CD anyway, right? Number two, speaking in tongues, you speak the wonderful works of God. The testimony in Acts, when magnify God, okay? Acts 2:11, Acts 10:46. Both instances, when people spoke in tongues, they magnified God. So when you're speaking in tongues, you're magnifying God. Number three, tongues are a gift that God gives to believers, his body. All right, it's a gift. Acts 19:6, 1 Corinthians 12. Okay? Number four, tongues can be a known language or a language that's in earth, or a heavenly language. 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak with the tongues of men or of angels, but if I don't have love. He didn't say, but he was talking about speaking in tongues of men or of angels. Now, in Acts 2:4, in that particular case, they were speaking known languages because people understood what they were saying. It was unknown to the speakers, but known to the listeners. Okay? But it was a supernatural ability. They did not study the languages that they were speaking. They did not go to school. They did not take Spanish class to speak Spanish. It occurred supernaturally. Okay? Number five, speaking in tongues with an interpretation is equal to prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:5. So speaking in tongues with an interpretation, like tonight we had tongues and interpretation, that equals prophecy, okay? Number six, Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, it declares he spoke in tongues a lot. 1 Corinthians 14:8 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, tongues is for all to profit from. As part of the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the spirituals that God lists, everybody is. So speaking in tongues is profitable. Number eight, When you speak in tongues, you speak directly to God. 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks to God. It's like having a bat phone to heaven, but it's not a bat phone. It's a heaven phone, right? It's a direct line to God. Okay? Number nine, when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. The Bible says when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. 1 Corinthians 14:4, Jude 20. Jude 20 says, beloved, building up yourselves, praying on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's a way to build up yourselves. It's like charging a dead battery. You feel dried, wore out, speak in tongues, and watch you get charged. You get edified. To edify means to build up. Okay? When you speak in tongues, when you don't know how you should pray for something, you can speak in tongues and you'll pray out God's perfect will. Romans 8, 26 and 27. When you don't know how to pray, as such, pray in the Holy Ghost. And Romans says he'll pray out God's perfect will. So praying in the Holy Ghost, you can pray in the Holy Ghost when you don't know how to pray for something. You know, sometimes God just may say pray, and you say for what? He may not give you the answer, you know. Or you know someone's going through something and you don't know how to pray, then you can pray in tongues, okay? Here's the beauty. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you can pray in tongues anytime you want. You can pray in tongues loudly. You can pray in tongues quietly. And, you know, you will notice that your language even changes. Some of you may have noticed that, who've spoken in tongues for a long time. Doesn't a baby's language get more developed and change as they grow? They're able to speak more words and they're able to speak more fluently. Their speech patterns develop. Okay, same thing with tongues. And then finally, number 11, Paul encouraged people to pray in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:39 through 40, he said, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid others to speak with tongues. Do not forbid others to speak with tongues. So if someone is speaking bad about tongues or saying that you shouldn't do that, they're not speaking according to the word. Amen? So those are 11 benefits of tongues. So the more, I mean, think about it. The man who wrote half the New Testament said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than y'all. He was from the South, y'all. Right? So does anybody have any questions about what we've talked about tonight or anything about the Holy Spirit? Questions? Yes. Well, I don't know when it changed, but it's the question was, some people say Holy Spirit, some people say Holy Ghost. When did that change? It's the same thing. It's like saying potatoes, you know. It depends on what version a person memorizes. So, you have a question?
I have a comment on speaking in tongues, a praise report.
Okay.
Just a sentence or two.
Yep.
Last week, I was in Harrisburg. Driving at a busy intersection. Well, my friend was driving my car at rush hour traffic in Harrisburg, busy intersection, and the car came over onto my car, and I thought it was going to be a sure crash. This car changed lanes. And I broke out in tongues when I thought it was going to be a short crash just within inches. And there were an accident at that moment, then the car swerved the other way. Just as I broke out in tongues just when I thought.
So praying in tongues helped you avoid an accident. Awesome. Because you know what? In 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about pray that you may interpret when you speak in tongues. One guy was driving his car, 65 miles an hour, and he's praying in tongues. All of a sudden, he heard this. He said, you better pull over to the side. He's like, okay, whatever. He keeps going. He's praying in tongues. All of a sudden, this interpretation comes in. You better pull over to the side. Finally, the third time, he said, okay. He pulled over to the side. His tire was about to blow. And if he wouldn't have gotten over to the side when he did, he would have blown and probably caused a greater wreck. But he was speaking in tongues, and that interpretation came to get over to the side. Great, great questions. Any other question? Don't be afraid to ask a question. I have an answer for every question. Sometimes my answer is, I don't know. But it's still an answer. Any questions about being filled with the Holy Spirit? Being baptized? See, go ahead. Does everybody get saved? But does that what the word says?
No, but that, I know that's not what it says.
Okay, so.
But I'm saying not everybody believes that they.
Exactly. See, you have to believe in accordance with God's word. Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, all were filled with the Holy Spirit, all spoke with tongues. That's what the word says. The Bible says, let everything be established with two or three witnesses. So if that's four different occurrences about speaking in tongues when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, then that is a pattern that for us to follow. That is exactly how the Word says. So they need to go back and read what the Word says about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, well then they're contradicting the Word. So someone cannot be in faith and contradict the word, and that's why they're not receiving. You can't go against what God said in his word and expect to receive what he promised. It doesn't work that way. Good question. Any other question? This is fun, isn't it? Yes.
Can you explain about the interpretation? Like, is there always an interpretation when someone speaks out in tongues?
Okay, I can explain more about the interpretation. There are two sides to speaking in tongues. One side is the public ministry, which Paul addresses. The other side is for the personal enrichment and development of the believer. Okay? When tongues are spoken of in public, like tonight, we had a message in tongues, and if that message was not interpreted, we would not have gotten edified because we didn't know what the language was saying. And really, it's not a translation, it's an interpretation, okay? So in order for the people to benefit in a public setting, tongues needs the interpretation so that we could all benefit from the message. But if there's no interpretation, we couldn't benefit from that message. We wouldn't know what they're saying. They don't even know what they're saying because they're talking directly to God, okay? So on the personal side, anybody can pray in tongues anytime, any place, anywhere because it's for personal enrichment and development. But in the public setting, I mean, Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit, I will pray in English. I will sing in the Spirit, I will sing in English. He made that distinction. He could do both. But Paul's desire was for the church to be edified. So in the public setting, when someone speaks in tongues, in order for everyone to benefit, there has to be that interpretation of what was said. And that way, it's equal to prophecy. So does that answer your question? Good. Good question.
I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. That was a good question, Abby. I think sometimes we get it mixed up a bit, and people are told that they can't pray in tongues in church.
Yes.
When they're just worshiping at their seat or praying, you know, whenever there's prayer in the service. And the key is that if you're praying at the same level as everyone else in tongues, that's how you pray. That's fine. It's when someone decides to just kind of like, you know, outshout everybody and carrying on. And then that tongues need to be an interpretation. If the Holy Spirit is asking you to give out a message that requires, that he wants to say something to the whole group. But it's important that whatever church you're part of or wherever you go, that speaking in tongues is part of the service, that you respect the protocol of what happens in that church. So that's key, because the Holy Spirit, when Paul talks about giving tongues interpretation, which you touched on like we did tonight, the Holy Spirit is God, and he is a God of order.
Yes.
So we want to respect whatever order has been put in place. That way, we all benefit, and no one is put on display. Because the whole point of the Holy Spirit is not to put us on display, but to put God on display.
Right.
For him to be seen by and heard by all.
And just from what I've observed over the years, people tend to mix up what the Bible says about the public ministry versus what the Bible says about the personal side of things. And a lot of people get those mixed up, and therefore it brings confusion. All right? And I want to say this too. When people were baptized with the Holy Spirit, they were very much into influencing others, either by service or helping or whatever. You know, God doesn't just baptize us with the Holy Spirit to give us a good feeling. It's really part of a spiritual equipment that he wants us to use to minister to others. So, excellent point. Great questions. Yes. How do you become an interpreter? Well, the Bible says that the gifts of the Spirit are as the Spirit wills. Okay? So God picks out the people that he wants to do certain things. Now, we had a training on this a couple years ago, year and a half ago or so, and ever since that training, I never know who's going to give the message, but we know that I would always give the interpretation. And that just brings the order to everything. And but God wants, you know, he talks about 9 different spirituals or gifts, okay? And he told us to seek and desire the best gifts. What is that? The best gift is whatever gift is needed in that moment, okay? Now, Jesus, I can't go into a whole teaching on the gifts, but how do you be an interpreter? Well, you would, you know, as the Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs, under this setting right now, the interpretation would come through me at this point. Yes.
I think if I could help with that, as we said about order, first, the Holy Spirit works through order, and he's not a pushy salesman,
right.
You know, push your door down, I'm going to sell you this. And so since we set up the protocol of the house in this way,
mm-hmm.
I've seen how the Holy Spirit has always respected it.
Yeah.
For example, when Doug was away one Wednesday, you were away, you were out of town, I think.
I was in
and so
Illinois.
I was preaching that Wednesday. I was the one preaching that Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I had never interpreted any of the messages prior to that because Doug was always at the pulpit for the tongues, and it was established that he would be the interpreter, and that's how God works, through order. Well, when I was the one speaking that night, I got the interpretation. You see what I'm saying? And so I believe that the Holy Spirit will work through the order we set up, not just even a person, but in the position that we establish. So that, and the whole point is not about who gets credit. It's all about God getting his message out and
right.
him receiving the glory. And I think that's key with the whole move of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's something that we should never take lightly when someone speaks ill of the Holy Spirit and his manifestation, because it's like speaking about your best friend and saying what they can and cannot do. Yeah. You know, that we are part of the kingdom of God, and we say we are friends of God and we are his people. We should be the ones to stand up and just, you know, be able to explain who the Holy Spirit is. And that's why, that's what this class is about, for us to learn more, so we don't get put down because of this beautiful gift that Jesus left for us when he left the earth.
So next class, we're going to get into the work, the jobs, and the actions of the Holy Spirit. And I would just encourage each one of you to just pray in tongues, praise God, get in his word, and that just boosts our sensitivity to him. In order to move with the Holy Spirit, you got to be sensitive to him and work within the framework that he establishes. Did someone over here have one more question? Is there a hand over here? Okay. So, and you know, Jesus, he said, you can blaspheme me and it'll be forgiven to you. But he said, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. So he protects his spirit. It is his spirit. And if you were to ask the Holy Spirit to tell you about himself, he will never speak of himself. He'll only talk about Jesus. He won't talk about himself. But we're going to find that out more. So next week, we're going to get into the works, the jobs, and the actions of the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's going to be exciting. So, amen. Yes. A gift is something that the Holy Spirit will cause you to do in the moment, but a talent is something that God gives you that you're supposed to use for his kingdom. So there is a difference between a gift and a talent. Amen. Does anybody need prayer? Maybe you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I know we've taken up some time for questions, but, you know, I want people to be filled as well. That's my goal in teaching this class. You know, I want you to be equipped with everything that you need to reach people wherever you are. That's what it's all about, because it's all about power. So when God gives us power, it's not for ourselves, it's for everyone else. So is there anyone here that need prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit or with anything else? Okay. Is this class helpful? All right. Amen. Father, we give you thanks and praise for tonight. Thank you for your holy written word and the work that your Spirit is doing. And we give you thanks and praise for revealing truth to us, speaking to our hearts, building us up, encouraging us, and comforting us in Jesus' name. Amen.